So the whole idea, I think, of staying connected constantly, and this is one of the, this was one of the hardest things for the kids on the trip. I mean, and they're 15 years maybe younger than I am, you know, or less, maybe 13 years, something like that. They, you know, wanted to be on their cell phones. They wanted to be texting friends.
It's hard to unplug.
And
after
it's like, yeah, it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not what you come to the wilderness for.
Right.
You know?
You like, come here to unplug and like remember what it was like before all that stuff, right?
Well, we did have gas generators to power the power tools, but
well, we've had gas generators for years.
That was just at Project Site 1. After that, we were all hand tools, and that's fun. And if you, actually a cool thing I learned is that designated wilderness areas, you're not allowed to have motors in, not even chainsaws.
Designated,
you know,
wilderness areas. So is that, yeah, like a it's Bureau like, of Land Management designation or something?
It's
like that?
It's a designate. It's a legal designation that has land on Bureau of Land Management, national forests, national parks,
okay.
And also I think Department of Fish and Game territories also across. And so it's like some BLM land will be wilderness,
right?
And some won't be, and some national forest land is wilderness, and some.
I see. Okay.
But in those areas, you have to do all the work that's necessary by, you know, hand tools and that, and it's kind of cool because, I mean, you know, you think about the impact. Okay, say you have to go clear a lot of fallen trees and stuff off a trail.
Right.
First of all, you know, the trail is an impact in a natural environment, but it's not a terrible impact, especially if it's a well maintained and designed trail. But then you go in with like chainsaws and clear that out. Not only are you, you know, cutting the wood and stuff like that, but just the amount of noise and fuel and stuff like that that those things make, that's a severe impact in the whole area. You know, like say you're down in a valley that it could be 3 miles long and, you know, a quarter mile wide, you're going to be kicking animals out of that just by using a chainsaw.
Yeah, you know? I mean, but you might be kicking animals out like in a smaller area by just like hammering and sawing for 3 days.
That's true, but the area is a lot smaller, and that's you know, that's how you measure, you know, your impact there, I think.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. And so I just found it. And it's also one of those areas where you see older technologies preserved that are now like obsolete. Yeah. You know, like
smoke signals.
Yes. Yeah. We didn't have the internet. It's all smoke signals.
Morse code.
Yeah. Yeah. We, in fact, when we were on opposite sides of the valley from one another, we just yelled in dots and dashes.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, beep, 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 beep.
Nice.
Beep, 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 beep.
I would have been like, dot, dot.
Dash.
Was that a dot or a dash? That was a dash. Wait, what? Start over. What else? There is apparently Apollo 11, the moon landing.
Yes.
40th anniversary.
I was here for that. And that. So what do you think about that? What do you think about going to Mars and you know, the amount of money goes to NASA and whatever?
You know, we were talking about that. One of the guys at work was talking about how they have like squandered their money and like they're not people. I mean, a lot of people say that like they're underfunded. A lot of people say they're overfunded and like they're just wasting their money or they're not doing the right thing with their money. And I've always been totally pro NASA. And like, it might just be because of the way I grew up, you know, and I'm obsessed with like space and I love, you know, I grew up just like loving astronomy and space and, you know, spaceships and the idea of all that stuff, you know? So like the idea of science and other planets and telescopes and stuff was really appealing to me. So I am totally for the 100% overfunding of NASA. Like, it's just like you can't fund it enough, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Because it's like it just fuels so much interest and like scientific exploration and like all that stuff. And I think that just for me that was like all I was interested in. Not all I was interested in when I was a kid, but it really captivated me now that I look back at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was my friends and I always knew the shuttle names and how they worked and, or at least, you know, the sixth grade understanding of how they worked and all that stuff. And even if you couldn't measure it from like a monetary, like income point of view or from like a scientific point of view, just to have that sort of R&D, that sort of research development that the government puts in there, I think it's worth it. And I don't think, I have not seen private sector like come anywhere close to doing that, but just for the good of man. You know, I feel like the NASA mission, and this might all be propaganda, but it just seemed like so good. You know, it's just like not for money, not for any reason, just for to see what was out there and to know. You know,
and also to win the Cold War.
No, and again, like that, and that's that was, you're right. That's totally where the moonshot came from, right? Mm-hmm. But I think, and you're right, like, I mean, I grew up in the 1980s, 1990s, and the Cold War was still kind of going on. But mm-hmm. I still feel like the NASA part of it in that time was not very Cold War related.
Mm-hmm.
It was more just science, you know, mm-hmm. but I totally agree with you that the moonshot, Sputnik, all that stuff, that was very like, oh my God, they're winning.
Right, right.
And we have to win now.
Yeah.
So I'm totally for it. And but as for a mission to Mars, I'm not necessarily for that. I don't know that that's going to – it seems so daunting of a task.
Well, here's the thing. I sort of feel like if you're not going to try and establish, you know – I mean, as a long-term goal, if you're not going to try and establish, you know, self-sustaining
colonies
or abilities to survive in other parts of the – solar system or whatever, then I don't know what the practical outcome
right
is for a lot of these things, because you know, definitely, you know, NASA, like you said, it's a lot of R&D and I'm sure like tons of materials technologies and you know, computer technologies and stuff have been developed for and by NASA, but I wonder, like, basically, from a real simple point of view, if you've got people living sustainably on two planets, your odds of surviving as a species are way higher.
You know, it was interesting. Right? My coworker brought that up. It's like we kind of owe it to humanity to like go and explore and find other places because we have to move off this planet eventually. That was his logic.
Well, here's,
and I just didn't like that.
Yeah, I don't think we have to move off the planet eventually. I hope we make this planet as livable as possible for as long as possible. And, you know, but I think that, you know, there is a possibility, I guess, that, you know, a giant meteor could come and smash it. And
I guess I hadn't thought about that.
We'd be goners, right? If we pollute the planet to the point where we can't live on it anymore, well, we shot ourselves in the foot. Right. We probably don't deserve another planet.
Right.
But, but I mean, in terms of going back a bit to just like, is the, you know, space exploration and stuff worth it? I'm not, you know, I was all for it when I was a kid, definitely. And I'm still for it. But you sort of, when you look at what, you know, we still have a lot of other problems.
That argument's no good though.
I mean, why is that?
Because you always, like, people are always like, don't we have better things to do? It's like, yeah, but we only have one Congress, and somebody has to pass laws. You know, and, like, you're right. Like, we could only work on the most important things, but then everything gets put off to the side, right? It has to be, like, you have to get the low-priority stuff through, because otherwise that stuff's going to bubble up and become high-priority, right? And it's like, you're right, there are other problems to solve, but we have to, at the same time, take care of lower priority situations and lower, like, I mean, we have to, like, fund NASA's. We have to fund space research because it's just one of the things that we should do as a country, you know? And if we just put everything by the wayside and wait till we fix these problems, you're assuming that we're going to fix these problems.
Well, isn't that the, I mean, now you don't sound like an engineer anymore, Sergeant. you got to be able to say there is a way of fixing these problems, any sort of problem.
No, okay, like, well, like, maybe if I was an engineer, and let's say we had a group of 10 people,
mm-hmm.
right, and then we were working on a product or some sort of thing, and then all of a sudden a huge problem popped up, you know? It's like, oh my gosh, we all need to stop working on whatever we're working on and fix this problem. At some point, it's like, no, we can't, that doesn't make any sense, because there's so many other things we still need to do. Even if we do fix that problem, we still have to get all this other stuff done. And, you know, if putting 10 people on that one problem made it go away in one-tenth of the time, then maybe I could be convinced. That's usually not the way it is, right? You can't just say, oh, well, we should stop working on this because we have these bigger problems to work on. That doesn't mean that you're going to solve those problems any quicker or with the proportionate amount of time saved.
I don't know that study's been done. I follow what you're saying, but I mean, you could just as easily make the opposite argument and say, well, if you know, if you do have this big problem and you've got all this money going into something that doesn't have a practical outcome,
right?
Then you could put the money into the big problem and odds are it would be finished faster or fixed faster.
It was fixed faster, but would it be proportionally fixed faster? You know what I mean? Like, it's limiting, right. Diminishing returns.
Right, right. Yeah. But, I mean, but what if the question with NASA is, are there any, you know, like, tangible goods that come for the vast majority of society from that?
I mean, NASA would say yes. I mean, I mean, I can only repeat propaganda at this point. Velcro, come on.
No more shoe tying for me.